You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
What would happen if someone tested your favorite spiritual leader? Not with a theological debate like we do in evangelical circles these days, but instead with a carefully crafted trap. What if the founder of your church or the founder of your faith fell for a hoax and claimed that it was divine revelation? Well, that's exactly what happened in 1843 to Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism. Today, we're diving into one of the most telling and yet often overlooked episodes in LDS history. We're going to talk today about the Kinderhook plates. Now, be forewarned, this isn't just a quirky footnote or an embarrassing moment in church history. It's a serious test of Joseph Smith's prophetic claims. And spoiler alert, he failed. And even the LDS church today admits it. We're going to get into all of this. And I want to just challenge you, if you're listening to this and you are still worshiping in a Mormon church, you know, you might have never heard about this story, or maybe your instinct is to somehow defend your prophet, your leader, Joseph Smith. I run into a lot of Mormons in Utah who do this very thing. But I want to challenge you to keep listening, because if Joseph Smith was truly a prophet of God, I find it hard to believe that he wouldn't have seen through this hoax. It all started in a small town called Kinderhook, Illinois, in the spring of 1843. A group of local men claimed to have discovered six bell-shaped brass plates covered with strange engraved symbols. According to their story, the plates were found buried in an ancient Indian burial mound. The news spread fast, and when the plates made their way to Joseph Smith, he was intrigued. By the way, Joseph Smith at this point was in Nauvoo, Illinois, and it was less than a couple years from his death. Now, this was the exact kind of thing Joseph Smith built his reputation on. Ancient records, buried in the earth, written in unknown characters. This was how the Book of Mormon supposedly came to be about, 13 years earlier. So when Joseph examined the Kinderhook plates, he didn't say, "Wait a second, these look suspicious." He didn't even test them. He didn't pray for discernment. Here's what he did. He simply started translating them, just like he had done for the purported Book of Mormon plates. Joseph claimed that these Kinderhook plates told the story of a man who was a descendant of Ham through the loins of Pharaoh, an Egyptian king. He even had copies made of the symbols to continue the work. You can Google it. You can find some facsimiles of those images. This moment was celebrated in early LDS history. The plates were displayed. The claim of another ancient record was heralded as proof of Joseph's prophetic gift. But there was one massive problem. You see, those plates weren't ancient at all. They were a hoax, carefully planned and executed by three local non-Mormon men, Wilbur Fugate, Robert Wiley, and Bridge Witten. These men were deeply skeptical of Joseph Smith's claim to divine revelation, so they had decided to put him to the test. They used modern brass, they etched fake hieroglyphics onto the plates with acid, and they staged a fake archaeological dig to, quote-unquote, discover them. Now, this wasn't a joke. It was a trap. It was a spiritual sting operation. Here's what they wanted to know. If Joseph Smith really had the gift of translation, wouldn't he see through the deception? But he didn't. He fell for it completely. And then everyone just moved on. Fast forward 36 years. The year is 1879. Wilbur Fugate, one of the original conspirators, gave a signed written affidavit confessing the entire plot. He admitted that the Kinderhook plates were entirely man-made, forged with the intent of deceiving Joseph Smith. His words were clear. "Our plans worked admirably. We succeeded in palming upon the prophet of the Mormons one of the most singular hoaxes ever perpetrated." So here's my question. Why did Fugate wait so long to reveal this? Well, think about it. Smith died just a year after the incident. The LDS movement packed up and moved west. The hoax was never widely publicized, and there were likely social and even legal risks involved in confessing back then. But over time, the weight of truth won out. Fugate didn't want to leave behind a legacy of deception, and when historians revisited the story, they found even more proof. Fast forward 101 years. Now it's 1980, and scientists examine one of the original plates under an electron microscope. You know what they found? The engravings were done using 19th century tools and chemicals. The plates were not ancient. The hoax was real. So this whole time, for almost 140 years, the Mormon Church continued to back up their claims that these plates were real and Joseph Smith translated them, just like he said about the Book of Mormon. But in 1981, the LDS Church changed its tune, and now they acknowledge that the plates were all a fabrication. And that's where things get interesting. Instead of admitting their mistakes, the LDS Church has just simply shifted the narrative. Here's what you'll find on their official website these days. There's no evidence that Joseph Smith produced a full translation. And he may have simply speculated based on the characters. And also, it's unclear how much Joseph was personally involved. Now, hold on. That's not what the history of the church says. In volume 5, page 372, it says, "I have translated a portion of them, and they contain the history of the person with whom they were found. He was a descendant of Ham through the loins of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." That wasn't a guess on Joseph Smith's part. That was a prophetic claim. And even the Times and Seasons, the LDS newspaper at the time back in the 1800s, celebrated the discovery as legitimate. Now you might be wondering, why does this matter today? Here's why. Joseph Smith claimed to translate ancient records by the power of God. He claimed divine revelation. He built a religion on the idea that God speaks through him. But the Bible gives us a test for false prophets. It's in Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 and 22. It says, "If the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord and the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken." Joseph Smith failed that test. The Kinderhook plates expose a prophet who could not discern a man-made fraud from genuine revelation. And that's not speculation on my part. That's historical record. This story reveals a deeper truth. Mormonism is built on a flawed foundation. And when you examine that foundation, it crumbles. If you're a Mormon and you're still listening to this, I want to just first of all say good on you for listening to this point, because I know this is hard to hear. It's hard to hear that the prophet and founder of your church might not be legitimate. Now, if this was the only thing that Joseph Smith ever got wrong, maybe I'd give him a pass. But when you build all of the evidence, when you stack all of the bricks, when you investigate all of the yellow flags and red flags in the history and teachings and personal life of Joseph Smith, then I think that this is just one more example that he was not a prophet of God and that he cannot be trusted. But here's the hope. Here's the good news. You don't need ancient brass plates. You don't need hidden gold records or temple rituals or secret handshakes. You just need Jesus. The Bible tells us that God's word is complete. It also tells us that Jesus is the final revelation of God, and that the gospel, the good news, is simple. And it's not the Mormon good news. It's the biblical good news. Here it is. Jesus died for your sins. He rose again, and he offers salvation by grace through faith, not through a system, not through a religion, not through a modern prophet who claims to have uncovered some long-hidden truths, but just simply through a Savior, and his name is Jesus. That's the real truth. And no test, no hoax, no forgery can undo it.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.